Now, I'm going to embarrass myself here, I'm sure, because my my daughter will correct me later. But how many of you know that that there's certain words that we use? I would call them slang words that don't necessarily make sense. It's like texting. Anyone text and they just text, you know, like whatever they are, LOL, you know, like, you know, so I even forget what they are. And so half the time I get them and I have to go ask my daughter, what in the world does that mean? And, or I have to Google search those kinds of things. But there's some words that we use that maybe aren't as familiar with everyone. Words that we see or we know or that we hear that maybe don't really register the full impact of what that means. And Jesus uses a word when he describes the life that we can experience or the way that we can experience that. And so I want us to dial in a little bit on that, but I was thinking through different slang words. So I looked up the top 10 slang words in America for 2023. All right. Words that people use that you may or may not know. Like if you take it on face value, it may not mean what it says it means. All right. And so, but for like the first one is bougie. Come on, I hear my daughter use that word all the time, bougie, all right? Anyone never heard the word bougie? All right, a couple of you. So bougie is it's an adjective, and it means rich or luxurious, special or fancy. Just look at the person next to you and say, you look bougie today. Come on out. Yeah, you know you want to do that. All right, so the opportunity to be bougie, I guess. All right, so I haven't heard this one, but it's bussin, B-U-S-S-I-N, bussin. Now, on the face value, bussin to me means like you're trying to get across town and you're going to take the bus. How are you going to get there? My car's broken down, so I'm bussin it today. That is not what that word means. The word bussin is an adjective. It actually means amazing and really good. And I'd never heard that. Anyone ever heard that? All right, a couple of you. All right, bussin. All right. Bussin. All right, so those potato chips are bussin, man. All right, so I didn't make it up. All right, I'm the messenger here. So the next one is the word drip. So for most of us, you probably think drip. You think, oh man, I gotta go shut off the faucet in my, you know, or my toilet keeps running, you know, or whatever that the drip. But drip. Does anyone know what drip means? Come on, somebody. All right, I've got a couple of people. All right. Yeah, when you work in a school, you probably hear a lot of these. You probably hear things I've never heard, some things I don't want to hear. All right, but it's an adjective. It also means stylish or sophisticated clothes or appearance. Lee's shoes and belts are dripping today. Come on now. Come on, man. I don't. It's slang. All right, it's just words that people use that maybe we don't fully understand. Here's a word that apparently in 2023 is another slang word. It's extra. Okay, so for me, what's extra means I have more than I need. But extra actually means the drama, the dramatic, attention grabbing too much. The example is you don't have to be extra about it. You know, I would say that's a lot of drama. Save your drama for your mama. Come on, somebody. But that's kind of what that means there. This one I've heard. This one. Have you heard this one? Rent free. So when people get on somebody's nerves or they're bugging them, they're like, I'm living in their mind rent free, you know, to become an obsession or to dominate somebody's thoughts. And so you hear about that like in sports when another player gets in the head of somebody else and just I'm living in their head rent free. Some of you are like, I still don't get it, even when you explain it. But salty, how about that one? It's one of my favorite words because I like salt. Come on, somebody, chips and salsa with lots of salty, but salty means to overreact. I'm just educating you all today, all right? So he got so salty after I didn't text him right back. It's like the word salty. How about this one? Shook? No? Anyone? Yeah. That's the stunned or shocked, I'm shook. And then the last one, vibe check. And that's just a verb to make sure someone's having a good time. So vibe check this morning. Everyone's good? Come on now. Everyone, let me hear you this morning. All right. Look at your neighbor again. Say, you look bougie today. Words. Words that paint pictures, but words that often are used that may have more significance than what we see. And And Jesus teaches us a word or shares a word about his life that is a word that applies to all of our lives and the way we get to live this life. And so I want us to understand, but before I get that, there's certain verses in your Bible you should either highlight, underline, or if you do digitally, you know, you get to tap on it and make it highlighted. And I want to start out of 2 Peter chapter 1, because I want to set the stage. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 4, and if I have time, I'm going to read out of Exodus as well. But this is one of those passages, one of those verses in life that all of us should have highlighted or memorized or at the tip of our tongue, because there's going to be things in our journey of life that we need to know this promise, this principle, and this truth. Come on, are you ready? You're on the edge of your seats right now. Come on now. So this is the one. So get out your pen, your highlighter, if you're taking notes. So 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 3. And it says this, by his divine power. So talking about by God's power. Everyone say power. There's a power of God for you, for me, for us, for Life Church, for your life, for your family. By his divine power, God has given us everything. Everyone say everything. Okay, this is a potent, powerful word. Everything we need. He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So if you read it in another translation, it would say it this way. It would say that he's given us power for everything in life and in faith. Everything that you need. I want you to think about this right now. What do you need to live life? What is it that you think that, man, this is some things that I need to know? And I think for me, so many times I feel like I fall short. Come on out. I don't measure up. Maybe I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I haven't experienced enough, that there's different things that I think I may not be the best person for this, or I may not be able to accomplish that, or I have this dream. Come on, somebody, that this is what God could do in my life. And this passage is saying that he's given us everything. Say it again. Say everything. I want you to go home remembering that everything that you need for life and godliness. Now think about that. So everything that you need. So at moments in your life where you're feeling pressure, what do you need? It's not a trick question. You need peace. Right, that when there's times in your life that maybe you're walking through a strain in relationships, what do you need? You need God's presence, God's power. You need God's love to help navigate some of those things. What do you, when you're raising your kids, come on, somebody, what do you need? Patience, come on. Wisdom. You need understanding beyond your natural. When it's coming to things that maybe you've gotten a report from the doctor, what do you need? You need peace. You need strength. You need to know that when you're in a battle, that everything you need, that he's the victor, that he brings victory, that everything that I might face, that when I need comfort, or I feel alone, that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When I feel that I've been rejected, that he's giving me hope in a future. That when I discover that life's not fair, come on, somebody, he's giving me everything that I need. Christ is everything that you need, everything that I need, everything that I need for my responsibilities and my work. He's everything I need. He's given me everything I need. So when I walk through my journey, when I get up in the morning and I think about the things that I have to do, the decisions I have to make, the people I have to talk to, and I feel frustrated. In fact, just this last week, just trying to hire a couple different positions that we need to fill, that it's just, come on now, the frustration of those things, you don't know. But just say, oh, Pastor Mike. No, I'm just... But he provides everything that you need for the life that he calls you to live and the path that he's calling you to walk. So in life and in faith, he's saying, whatever that is. So I want you to just think right now, God, what is it that I need today to live the life of faith or live a life that's fulfilled with your presence or that's just obedient to you? Maybe there's turmoil at home. Maybe there's stress at your job. Maybe there's financial pressures that you feel like are going to crush you. His promise to you today by his word is that everything you what need, that everything for life and for godliness, no matter what appointments you have tomorrow, come on somebody, everything that you need is what he's providing. So when you feel like I'm not enough or I can't or I won't, he's saying everything that you need. That's just good right there that you've received that as you know him. And it goes on and says, and because of his glory, verse 4, and excellence, he has given us great and precious what? Promises. That there's a promise that he's given us. They're both unimaginable, they're great, and they are so precious and they're so sweet. That there's something that he wants to make sure that you know that you have. So he's given you everything you need for life and for godliness, and there's a promise that's so incredibly great, but so special and precious to my life, to your life, to our life. He's like this opportunity that's beyond what I can think or imagine. These are the promises, it goes on and says, that enable you to share his divine nature. Wait a second. I get to do what? I get to share in the divine nature, that there's a supernatural presence of God that can be in and upon my life and on my journey. So if I'm going to experience everything that I need for life and for godliness, there has to be something that's greater than me helping me live this life. Come on now, that there's a presence and a power, like the very first verse, that his divine power. But he's given us a great and precious promise. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. That has a both a here and now and a there and then promise. A promise of eternal joy, peace, presence of God, but also the understanding that there's power to share in the divine nature. So there's a promise for you today. Everything that you need on your next step, the next chapter of your life, everything that you need. What happens to you tomorrow, he already knows. And he's saying, everything that you need, I'm already preparing. I'm already there. I'm going to give you the strength to walk through. There's going to be some things that I face in life. I'm like, all right, everything I need that to be gone. I need that relationship to be restored, or I need this to be healed. And what he's saying is everything that you need. So what you need is a strength that's stronger than you. What you need is a peace that passes all understanding. What you need is to not see all of those things vanish, but somebody that helps you conquer and walk through whatever life may throw at you. Does that make sense? Come on, just say, that's good. Everything that you need. And he gives this great and precious promise that we get to experience a supernatural presence of God in our life if we'll choose to walk in it. So let me give you another scripture that gives you that promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And it tells us what one of those promises are. And there's a lot of them, but we're going to get to the word that I want you to grasp in just a moment here. But in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 2, it says this: it is God who enables us, who empowers us. So what I said, our message today, empowered for life, that there's a power from God that allows you to face, allows you to have wisdom, allows you to have direction, allows you to have hope in every situation. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us. He has appointed us. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's the promise that when we follow him, how am I going to have everything that I need? This verse here tells me that promise is that when I surrender my life to him, that he places his spirit on the inside of me, and says that by placing his Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment, the guarantee or the deposit of everything that he has promised, that there is this moment in our journey that everything I need is going to be found in him. But what he says is that everything that you need is going to be found, and I'm going to give you my divine nature. I'm going to give my spirit to live in you. And when you surrender to me, it doesn't matter what happens, what's coming, what you know and what you don't know, what you face, what's the highs, the lows, the victories, the mountaintops, and the lowest valley. I'm going to give you my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in you, to live through you, to help you experience everything you need for life and for godliness, that I'm going to empower you for something greater and something more than just what you know. And so here's what Jesus says. He tells us this. He gives us his assignment in Luke chapter 4. It's really one of those moments where Jesus is going to share in the temple, and he gives us his mission statement. And he points out some things like, this is what I'm going to be about. And then when we tie in these other verses that I read, we understand what Jesus does is provide us the comforter. That's another word for the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of us. But Jesus is going to help us understand something. And then what we know is that the same Spirit, I'll read out of Romans chapter 8, that lived in him, that raised him from the dead, lives in us. That's what you'll hear me say that a lot. Romans 8, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. So the things that we see him talking about, the Holy Spirit working through him or in that time, is the same Holy Spirit that works in you and through you, providing everything you need for life and for godliness, the promise of his nature. So it doesn't matter what struggle or temptation, come on now, what addiction that I face, everything. Everyone just say that again. Say everything. Everything I need to overcome those, to have wisdom, to have direction, to have peace, all of those things. So here's what Jesus teaches us, and here's the word that I want you to capture in your heart, because it's this powerful word that it's not a slang word, but it's a word that we don't fully embrace or fully understand, and we miss the promises out of Second Peter, where it says that everything I need is found in him. And so here's what Jesus said. It said this, that then Jesus returned, in verse 14, chapter 4, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Come on now. The power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Reports about him, about Jesus, spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogue and was praised by everyone. That didn't last long, right? You know the story, that people that were praising him began to curse him. But verse 16 says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, listen to this, I like this, because Jesus models what we're doing today. He went as usual to the synagogue. He went to church. Jesus was found in church regularly. He was connected to his heavenly Father through his body, or expression, what we would say today is the local church. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stands up to read the scriptures, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And we don't know why that was chosen. Did Jesus ask for that? That would be my reading of that he was very specific. Isaiah would have been the biggest scroll. Some would say, well, that was just happened to be the daily reading. What we don't really know, but there was an intention that Jesus wanted to read out of the scroll of Isaiah. That they handed to him. The priest was like, hey, oh, we have a special guest here today. His name is Jesus. Some call him Jesus the Messiah. And I'm just going to ask him, hey, Jesus, do you want to come up here and do you share a few words with people? Like, yeah, let me do that. And so Jesus is there. And he takes the scrolls and he begins to read. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The presence of God in Jesus is the same Spirit that is on you and me. That if I'm going to experience everything that God has for me in life and in godliness, if I'm going to experience his divine nature in the way I live, it's going to come from me surrendering myself to the power of his Spirit working in my life. That there becomes this need to lean into, to be dependent upon him, to not allow the way that I think, the way that I process. A couple weeks ago, we went through 2 weeks about all things being new. This is one of those things that allow us to live this new life, this empowered life, this life that he's has for us. And what he goes on through that, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed." Everyone say anointed. That's our word, that we're anointed. The word anointed literally means to smear or to rub oil on. That the word actually has two different aspects. One is to rub on, and the other one's to rub into. That there's a rubbing on and a rubbing in. That the Spirit of God that lives in us, that is with us, that empowers us for this life, for what I need tomorrow when I wake up, whatever it is that I need. He says that I'm giving that to you through the promise of my Spirit that wants to live through you. So I have to live my life in dependence upon him and his Spirit, that I have to allow myself to wake up and fall in line. Come on now, not with my will be done, come on somebody, but your will be done. Not what I want, what I think, but what he wants, what his will is, what his purpose, what his plan is. And then he begins to say, and everything then, Mike, that you need. Every step, when you need direction, I'm going to give you what you need exactly at the time that you need it. Everything that you need. And Jesus says that by the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. There's something that's rubbed on and in us. This idea of the oil, the Holy Spirit, and this anointing oil, that you could change those words and they would apply the same. For he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That this is the mandate and the mission of Jesus. And we get to carry that. And it was so awesome. I don't know if you captured what Pastor Mary Lou, as she was praying, and even the song that we sang, and I don't know what song we're ending with, but we can end with that, the idea of his Spirit in us. And we didn't even plan this, but as she prayed about this very exact portion of scripture, about his Spirit that's being working in us and through us, that verse 20 says that he rolled up the scrolls, he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and all the eyes in the synagogue looked intently at him. Then he began to speak. So he sat down. He read this passage. So what he spoke was out of the book of Isaiah. But what he was doing was he was helping them understand who he was. So he rolls it up and he sits back down, and everyone's like, "You can't be done yet." And he says that in the next verse, verse 21 says, "Then he began to speak to them. The scripture that you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. I am the one that brings the Spirit of God to your life." It goes on and says, "Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the glorious words that came from his lips. How can this be?" They asked, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They didn't understand the magnitude. I think that's for us. We don't understand the working of God's Spirit in our life. It's like, oh, it's just a churchese word. It's just a little thing. That's just what they say. But we don't really embrace and understand that his divine nature is trying to crack through the hardness of our hearts, trying to work through the patterns of our thinking, trying to help us to live and to express, to love like he did, that by his Spirit. And so understanding this word anointing becomes very important for each and every one of us. And I quoted this, or I quoted it to you moments ago out of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it helps us understand to even a greater sense what Jesus is saying for us personally. He says, the Spirit of God, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay, so Jesus just said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The power of God is within me. And he to heal the sick. Hey, I don't need you right now. To heal the sick and to bring sight to the blind and the lame will walk. He says, all these things are going to happen. He goes, it's like, hey, this has been fulfilled in your presence. It's that mic drop moment. Boom. And then the apostle tells us this, that that same spirit that was in him lives in you and lives in me. When I surrender my life to him, he takes up this residency in my heart. And that spirit lives in me. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give your life, give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit that lives within you. That spirit, again, just like we read out of 2 Peter, lives in me for this life and the one that's yet to come. This life that I can live. And so what do? I have to choose how to live my life and to walk in him. And so how do I allow that? And so in a nutshell, you look at the anointing of God on each and every one of your life. That as you surrender to him, his spirit lives in you and anoints your life for life and godliness. That you can choose to live to honor him. The intent of that, the word really means these aspects of it, that we are literally set apart, we're empowered, we're protected, and we're blessed. Because his spirit lives in me, I'm empowered for the life he has. I'm set apart for a specific purpose. He protects my life, and I'm blessed. And so here's what you have to understand. I'm on the first half of the first page, and I still have four more pages to go. Come on, somebody. But here's the deal. Understanding this principle, that there's this oil, the anointing, it would be this oil that would be rubbed on and rubbed in, and it wasn't just for anyone, but it was very specific. In biblical days, it was, you know, today, what do they call essential oils, right? You can buy those in stores, right? I don't know. How much do they cost? $3.99. Thank you. All right. Some of them probably a little bit more than that, but I don't know what do we do with essential? I should research that. I don't even know how. I'm off on a tangent right now. What in the world are essential oils for? Somebody help me. All right. Anyway, so, but back then, the anointing or the oil was considered an essential oil. That was my point. I probably should know what essential oils are for today, because maybe I don't want to use that as an illustration. But you understand what I'm saying? That the essential oil, that there was a purpose and a design for what God was doing. Now, my mom is here, and so she can verify this for me, but when I was younger, and I don't know, probably 11 years old, I remember as I was growing so massively, come on somebody, so fast for my body that I couldn't contain it, that there were points in time that I remember my joints would hurt. So I was active in several different sports. And so I was, during the summer, I was trying to stay fit for the, whatever the upcoming season was, football, whatever it was. And so I remember running, and I come back, I'm like, Mom, my knees are, they just, I feel pain like in my joints, and it really hurts. And so I don't know if she was trying to cure me or punish me. I'm not sure which one. I'll let you, but the solution that she came up with is she said, I'm going to give you cod liver oil. Thank you. And so it's good for you. Oh, it's terrible, Debbie. So I remember drinking this oil, come on, a cod liver oil, and it almost made me want to regurgitate. Come on, I'm going to say that really politely for you right now. And so I think I did the next day, and it was painful, so she gave me another dose of cod liver oil, and then miraculously I was all better after that. So it worked somehow. Not really, I just didn't want to drink anymore. But the oil of his spirit, and the presence of God on your life that can meet you right where you're at. Whatever aches, pains, whatever challenges, whatever difficulties, there's this oil from on high, the Holy Spirit that wants to work in you and through you. And it takes a step of faith and me surrendering to him, but understanding this, that under the symbolism of the Holy Spirit and the oil, the anointing. But the anointing that happened in the Bible was God instructed leaders to anoint other leaders. And in the Old Testament, you would see it this way. It was a setting aside for a specific type of work, that there was the presence of God for something very specific, a special work. And in the Old Testament, there was three types of people that you saw were anointed by God. The first people that you'd see were the priests. And you see in Exodus chapter 28 that God would instruct Moses to anoint Aaron and his son to be priests in the house of God, that there was this pouring of the oil of God on them to set them apart for something specific. And I want you to understand the parallel. The Spirit of God that lives in you is setting you apart for something very specific, that wants to give you the power to live whatever it is, whatever career you have, whatever life that you live, whatever family that's around you or with you, that he's saying that I have a very specific purpose for each and every one of you. And I'm anointing you not just for your life, but for lives that are around you. That I want to do something so real and so fresh in your life. And next week we'll walk through this a little bit more detail. I'll let you know what was in that and why that mattered. But not only the priests were they anointed, that the second, or another person I should say, is our kings. And you see that throughout scripture, that Saul was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and then just six chapters later, David's anointed king to replace him. And David understood this idea of the purposes and plans of God so real, that there was a moment that Saul was coming to hunt him down and to pursue him. And David, understanding this idea of the anointing or the Spirit or the presence of God being so real. So here's this king that's trying to kill him, and he's sleeping, and he has a moment, has an opportunity to defend himself and to take the life of Saul. And he says these words. He says, "Far be it from me, I will not touch the Lord's anointed." The ones that God has given a special purpose and a plan. Now God may shift plans, but he was saying that, man, it's so powerful, so real, that far be it from me to mess with what God is up to and what God is doing and what God is stirring. And even though he had the chance and he knew he could do it, he said, I won't mess with God's anointed. The third type of person you see in the Old Testament is the prophets. So you have the priests, the kings, and the prophets that would be anointed, be set apart, that the anointing oil that would be put on them, on Aaron to be the priest. And it wasn't just people, and we'll read it next week out of Exodus, there was certain things that were dedicated to the purposes of God that were anointed by God. And the prophets that were anointed, that were set apart in 1 Kings chapter 19, God tells the prophet Elijah to anoint his replacement, which is Elisha. So there's these different types of people, but they were all uniquely appointed. That they all had this specific purpose that the Spirit of God led them. And I want you to walk out with this truth, that not only is the presence of God in your life through his Spirit as you surrender to him, not only does he give you everything that you need for life to live and godliness to experience, he's also set each and every one of you apart with a opportunity to be, as we talked about a few weeks ago, his ambassadors, the ones that carry his heart and his love. And so you see this anointing, the priest, the king, and the prophet. And in the Old Testament, there was always this pointing forward, that there was one yet to come, that there was an anointing that was going to be so unique. And throughout the Old Testament, the prophecies would point to the one that would be the prophet, priest, and king together, that we would call him the Messiah. And the Messiah means that very point, the anointed one and his anointing, the chosen one of God. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of God is on me in power." And in Romans chapter 8, the apostle tells us that same Spirit's in you. That same Spirit's working in you. Would you just stand with me? I just want to pray over you today. There's so much more that we'll unwrap a little bit more detail next week in understanding the process of this. But his great and precious. Incredible promise of his Spirit. It's beyond what I can articulate and fathom, that this great and amazing promise that's from God in this, that's so great, but yet it's so precious. So I just want today, I want to just dedicate you to the purposes and plans of God for your life. That you won't tomorrow when you wake up think, I'm just going to go clock in and do a job. But you'll think, the Spirit of the Lord is with me, is on me, is in me. And everything I need today for life and for godliness, that's so great and so precious in me. In fact, I just want all of you just to just lift your hands towards heaven, just with an open palm. And God, I just pray right now, by your great and precious Spirit, that as we surrender to you and say yes to you, that your Spirit lives in us, that gives us strength, gives us peace, guides us, directs us, gives us hope. And today we surrender ourselves to you. We choose to take hold of that thing that you're setting us apart. Every person you know by name, each and every one that you're setting apart for a very specific purpose. It was never just set apart to be set apart. It was, there was assignments, there was opportunities, there was life, there was steps that Lord, that you would call them to. And so God, today we just surrender to you. I just declare your kingdom come, your will be done, the presence of an almighty, all-loving God. Lord, I pray that we will sense, walk in, rely on, be dependent upon your Spirit, your presence in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.